1308. Mr. Benefield?
Yes, sir. It pleases the court. I'd like to just go over the nature of the invention briefly. I think it, a little bit of emphasis might have been lacking in the brief. Basically, this is a promotional method and a calendar for promotional purposes. The calendar performs the function, the daily calendar, of bringing fresh eyes to each page. In other words, the human tendency is when you have a new page, you actually look at it, whereas if it's a page is constantly displayed, you tend to not see it after a fairly short period of time. The fact of a person's name has a great deal of power to that person.
But that's printed matter, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
It doesn't matter. Really have a functional relationship that changes the calendar without it. I mean, the calendar still reads as a calendar.
Yes, it performs its function as a calendar, but it interacts with that function. The nature, in similar fashion to the Gulag case, it interacts with that. It's the daily page which the person will look at afresh, and the name will be presented in combination.
Why wouldn't it be entirely obvious for someone to, in light of the prior art, simply put a name on each page?
Because there's a new function there. There's a synergism that you will look at that page and you will see your name, and it will be in conjunction, as opposed to just seeing a sign that's displayed continuously. It's the daily page. It's obviously a subtle psychological effect. But
January 8th is still January 8th. It doesn't become a better day or a more important day, or it doesn't.
Well, the result we seek is not to inform the customer of the date. We seek to promote the enterprise to that customer. So that's the new function in a more effective way than has been done before. So it's the effect on the human psyche. You turn a page, you look at it freshly every day, and that psychological effect is achieved. Now, this is. Promotion is not a mechanical or physical process. This is a promotional process to the human being, like an advertising promotion. This is the stuff of which they operate with. They don't reach out and hit the customer with a hammer. They create this fresh eyes looking at a fresh page in this context. That is the in this kind of a business, that's very significant. Now, the Patent Office, as perhaps also the court, tends to be a little skittish whenever printed matter is involved, but this court has...
Skittish? Does that mean to reject?
I'm just saying, it gets a look, it's like, okay, wait a minute, this is printed matter, and there's been a traditional... I was an examiner years ago, and printed matter was... something from how to get.
Let me ask you, if this patent were granted, and I had a calendar that had the Raider Insurance Company motif on the top, and then you'd tear away each day, why wouldn't it be infringement for Raider, which is displayed along with each day on my calendar face, to infringe your patent?
Well, the concept here is that you would tune out the thing that's always there. It would be when you look at the tear-off page, that was the reinforcement that you would look at that.
Why won't I tune out the Raider insurance that pops up each day anyway?
Well, obviously that could happen too, but the human nature is otherwise, that you will look at it afresh rather than just saying, yeah, there's something up there at the top. Every day you see this. This is a person now, a person's name, in combination with this enterprise. This is not just XYZ Plumbing up at the top. This is a person's name, which has special power, and it's in conjunction with, on that same daily pay.
But I'm not sure I understood your first answer to Judge Rader's question. If his calendar reads Rader Insurance Company, Randall R. Rader, President, and then the calendar has each day, wouldn't that infringe?
Well, I understood him to say it was at the top of the calendar. It would not tear off.
No, it does. Each page has Randall R. Rader Rader Insurance, and then Randall R. Rader, Proprietor, and then the date, January 8th. Wouldn't that infringe?
Well, it's a separate person. You can't promote yourself to the enterprise.
When you say separate person, there's a person's name and an enterprise identifier or associator on the page. What limitation? Am I missing something here? Each page prominently printed with the name of the person to personalize each page of the calendar. That would be regular.
Possibly, but the method claims are to promote the enterprise to the person. It would seem we certainly wouldn't claim infringement in that circumstance.
You might not sue, but if I were the examiner, I would certainly think that prior art, if there were some, would certainly read on your claims.
Well, there isn't any prior art to that effect. All that was before the patent office was a conventional tear-off calendar with no hint of putting a person's name on there. And what I understood the rejection was that they said we will ignore the name because of this esoteric rule when printed matter is combined with other structure, which I think myself, this case is all on all fours with Gulak, in that Gulak found a functional relationship between the printed matter and the rest of the structure.
What were the facts in Gulak?
Pardon me?
What were the facts in Gulak?
Well, Gulak had a band of material that had digits printed on it around the perimeter of the band of material. The prior art also showed a band of materials with digits printed around them. And the court held in that case, because of the interreaction, first of all, they said you couldn't ignore the content of those digits, the nature of those digits. The nature of the digits was different in the prior art and in the applicant's invention. The court held that nature was significant because it was functional because it utilized the nature of the endless band to perform some useful purpose in the way that digits were sequenced, which was not present in the prior art. And in this case...
Sounds functional.
Pardon me?
That sounds functional, which is different from your...
Yes, there was still...
Proposed invention.
It was the broad function of displaying digits was the same. And that seems to be the patent office position in this case, that you're just displaying a name. But here, there's a different function. There is a synergism, the psychological effect of the name in conjunction on the page. So it's not, as an example, if I just put an ornamental imprinting on the page, then that would get into the Nagai's case, in Ray Nagai, in which it was more like an aggregation. There was no really interaction. It was just there. There was no functional interaction. It was just physically together. Now, the court in Ray Gulak said it performed two functions, that it provided us physical support. In Nagai, it was a rather extreme case. There wasn't even an attachment. There was instructions that went with a kit. The kit was old. The instructions described to the user how to use that kit to perform a patented method, which in that case the applicant had gotten method claims on that method. But there was no physical connection, which there wasn't Gulak, and there was no functional interrelationship. Either one would perform without the other. Here, we need the calendar for the name to get the effect. It's not just a matter of putting the name on the customer's calendar. It's that psychological effect we're getting. We have to have that calendar because that's what makes them turn the page. That's what makes them look at the page because it's a new day and a fresh look, his eyes are seen and is interested in and is going to absorb that page. That's the mechanism whereby we bring that to his attention in such a way that it clicks. It's okay. He sees a combination and he does see it.
That sort of thing doesn't happen as an obvious variation in every form of advertising?
No, it doesn't.
You mean it's not a pretty obvious thing for one of skill in the art to display the name as repetitively and on a daily basis if possible, if your product will allow it? That's not a very...
Well, you have to have obvious in view of what? Just obvious...
One of skill in the art, and then why, if we're in the art of advertising, why wouldn't one of skill say, yeah, put that name as often as you can in as many places as you can, put it on every day? Why isn't that kind of an obvious principle?
There's a subtlety here that was not appreciated. In fact, there's no prior art. Now, there's all kinds of calendars for all these years, and the examiner couldn't come up with any prior art and just to say, hey, it's obvious. And the issue in this case was not the way I interpreted the decisions. The board said they were unobvious in their first decision. They said it was not obvious. It's right in their decision. They reversed the examiner when he made that rejection. And they said, go back and look at the printed matter issue. And so the examiner came back with the printed matter, and he basically said, ignore the printed matter because there's no functional relationship. So the issue that the court now has is it's not whether it's just obvious on general grounds. Is can they ignore that name, the nature of that name, because it has no functional or relationship to the calendar when it manifestly does.
That's, Mr. Benefield, you're into your rebuttal. You can save it or use it.
Pardon me, I'm sorry.
You're into your rebuttal time.
Yes.
You may save it or use it now,
I'll
as
save
you wish.
It. Thank you.
Mr. Jenks.
Thank you, Your Honor, and may it please the Court. I'd like to begin with the prior art that is in the record. And
why did they find prior art? It seems like there ought to be prior art here. Why wasn't there more prior art?
Well, in general, I can't answer the question why there's not that perfect 102 reference. However, the art that's relied upon is, I think, extremely close. And if we look at it, it's shown on the opposite of page 3 in the red brief. That is the Hallam reference, and you can see that we are very close in terms of what is printed on the calendar. In fact, Hallam shows a pad of paper which can be daily torn off, and on each day, or on each sheet, is a particular day and date. In addition, on page in Hallam, you'll see there are other printed matter other than the day and date. There's the historical information, there's illustrations. All of these are designed to draw your eye to the calendar. Why? Each day for the payoff, which is the advertising. And the blank space in Hallam, section B of Hallam, on that illustration, is where the advertising copy is intended to be placed. So each day, the proprietor of a shop, say, who wants to display this calendar, can put his own advertising in there. So we've got the same printed matter in terms of the day and date, we've got additional printed matter in terms of the historical things, and we've got the advertising function already displayed in Hallam. So that is the prior art we have here, and the effect on the psyche the board considered. It did not just disregard it. You can see in the opinion at page 81 and 82, there are references to, even if that's the effect, the functional relationship is still the same as in Hallam. You're advertising, you're bringing the eye to the calendar each day. So, now if the court has any further questions, I'd be happy to answer them. Otherwise, I can yield my time.
We never penalize anyone for yielding time. Mr. Benefield has little time left to
rebuttal. Oh, there's a couple of points. One, the advertisement, it's not the same thing. You're promoting it to another person. So the advertising would be a double inclusion. Let's say an enterprise to be promoted and another person, so that there's no suggestion there that you would hook up personally, that this calendar is now going to be connected to your target, and that this is usually these calendars, the implication is that it's not personalized. It's on the wall. Somebody comes in and sees it, and you see the enterprise and advertising works its magic. Here, it's a different wrinkle from everything. This is where this calendar is going to be tied into a person, an individual. Judge Bryson's question from the earlier moment, there is some verbiage in Claim 1 with the identifier enterprise to be promoted, so that there's an implication that the enterprise is promoted to the person. The method class are in terms of the promotion to the person. So there's nothing in the prior art that is concerned at all with personal advertising, connection to an individual rather than to any observer at large. This is something very specific, which...
But the claim does say person's name.
Well, the independent both claims say person's
name. With the name of a person, and then it repeats it, person's
name.
Well,
the claim one says each page prominently printed with the name of a person to personalize each page of the calendar. Each page also prominently imprinted with an identifier of an enterprise to be promoted, whereby said person's name and said enterprise identifier visually associated on each page. It's a very different concept than run-of-the-mill advertising, and the prior art is run-of-the-mill advertising. And this is a whole different kind of a program where you deliver all of these calendars to individuals. Now that's not my common experience, as I've been done.
So, I think we understand your point, Mr. Benefield. Any further points you wish to make?
No, Your Honor.
Thank you. We'll take the case under advisement.
All rise. The Honorable Court is adjourned until this afternoon at 2 o'clock.